Hi, folks. This is Matthew, and in case this episode of Ask Philo seems a little bit more weird and rambly than usual, it's because I just did it after getting my bivalent COVID booster shot about 2.5-3 hours ago. But I hope you enjoy it, and if you enjoy this, go check out everything at anchor.fm/theadequate. You can start looking for Ask Philo and see all 13 episodes of Series 1, and this being Episode 7 of Series 2, you can see that too. You can also scroll back and listen to stuff that I recorded way back in the beginning of my podcasting career several years and one pandemic ago. Hope you enjoy the show. Heck, I hope I enjoy the show. And now, the Adequate Podcast presents Ask Philo with your host, Philo T. Headbecker Kneecap, practitioner of the dark arts from Southeast Texas. Take it away, Philo!
My name is Philo Thibodeau Headbecker Kneecap, and I am a practitioner of the dark arts and crafts from Achivaka Waka Waka County. And I don't have any questions this week, and the reason I don't have any questions this week is because we had ourselves a bit of a hurricane out here in the Gulf. You recall, of course, I'm in northern Southeast Texas, and we're close enough to the Gulf of Mexico that all that excitement that was happening and causing some true consternation from the folks in Florida, and I hope everyone out there comes out safe, and if not, let me know, because I know a guy with a lot of pontoons and a giant animated skeleton that we can use for some reclamation work, if you will, and also a bunch of zombies, but not as many zombies as we used to have, you see, because, well, it seems that due to with everything else that was going on here on top of the swamp burning down, and then the okra-hungry zombies, and then the okra-hungry, zombie-hungry zombie alligators, of which we have only seen about 4 so far, which means that either there's not a lot of them, or they're getting more clever, gang. We lost some zombies. I'm not actually sure how many zombies we lost, because we've never really been able to keep a running tally of them. We tried doing things like, you know, giving them name tags, but those fell off in the swamp on account of them doing, you know, zombie reclamation and construction work. And we tried painting numbers on their coveralls, but some of these zombies aren't exactly what you would call directionally gifted, so there's a lot of zombies bumping into things and smearing the paint, so we got a lot of random orange smears of paint here and there on, you know, the slowly regrowing trees on account of the swamp burning down. The Quonset huts we've been building, mostly the zombies been building them, and occasional other zombies, a couple of passersby. One very startled United States Postal Service worker, guy. I hope he's doing a lot better now, and a couple of capybara and one or two nutria, and once again, I gotta warn you here, don't bother eating the nutria. They're not nutritious, just don't fall for the hype. So we're not really sure how many zombies we got out here, but yeah, good faith that those zombies who did get sucked up into the winds and carted off somewhere, assuming that they landed in relative safety, are probably shambling their way right now to a good trade school or trying to pick up an apprenticeship, because these zombies are all fairly well, you know, suited for that kind of work. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who does trade work is a zombie. That would be ridiculous and also incredibly difficult to maintain. Live human beings are much more productive as trades workers than zombies are, but zombies are good for some of the heavy hauling and the occasional hazardous work where you don't want to put a live human being into it on account of they might get, you know, blown up or fried or electrocuted or ground into a fine paste. You really don't want to do that with most zombies, or at least you don't want to say that in front of zombies, because they get extraordinarily defensive in a situation like that. That's just a little management tip from your old friend Philo. So, One thing that people have asked us about, and it's a good time to bring it up on account of a hurricane is a fairly vigorous event, is they're worried about the zombies falling apart. And we were concerned about that too initially. We did have a few cases of what we like to refer to as drop-off among the zombie population, and we came to the conclusion that the best plan, really, because most of these zombies are fairly well actuated, is to issue each zombie their very own roll of duct tape. And the duct tape is an incredibly useful tool, of course. You can stick things together for a good long time, and you can repair just about anything if you're even slightly clever about it. One of the nice things about the roll of duct tape is that it does fit conveniently in the front pocket of the coverall, along still leaving you room for a moon pie. And one of the things we did consider, because duct tape is very good, but there are some vagaries with it, especially in a damp climate like it down here in the county. We did think about going one step further up and using what's called Gorilla Tape. Now, that is a brand name, and I am not being paid to mention it. I'm merely mentioning it in the interest of science, because we had this conversation and we did these things. We did consider using Gorilla Tape, but you know, they're zombies and not gorillas, and there's definitely a difference. And if you had any experience in zoology or the dark arts, you probably can come up with two or three differences just right off the top of your head here. They're definitely not zombie gorillas either, yet. And one of the things that we did try, however, is we wanted to see what would happen if we just issued a couple of gorillas a couple of rolls of Gorilla Tape, and it was extremely educational to watch and also worth a few laughs. And we're going to be putting some of that out on the interweb as soon as we get that injunction from the zoo against us lifted. And that's why we're not allowed to go out to the Houston Zoo anymore, although it is amazing how many things a motivated gorilla can adhese together with the right tools. Fortunately, most of them have been separated, and we only wound up having to shave three or four critters to get the tape, the sticky parts of the tape off. There are some things you can do with orange oil, that peanut butter, that will pretty much solve most of your Gorilla Tape needs. And in fact, if you get stumped, you can just throw the big plastic jar of peanut butter to the gorilla, and that will usually distract it long enough for us to get the tape away from them. One time they peanut butter to another gorilla, and that led to, I think we could probably call that a fracas, possibly a ruckus, maybe even a Donnybrook. But anyway, so we don't know how many zombies we got left here. We did ask Grandma to speak to them, as Grandma is the spokes revenant for the zombie community here in the county. And she informed me, amongst her groans and trying to tear my face off in a playful manner, that they don't really know neither how many they were, because they didn't know how many they were to begin with, and apparently none of the group was a mathematician. So, and not only that, none of them were thinking about doing things like, you know, keeping track for tax purposes or anything like that. So once again, whoever animated these zombies, I gotta tell you right now, I have some serious questions in regard to your bookkeeping and your maintenance schedules, because a zombie is forever, or at least until it falls apart. So you gotta maintain them. Seriously. Things like these just make me very, very cranky. Anyway, I talked to Grandma about it, and she said that they're fairly certain they had, and I think the correct phrase here was, a few of them, and now they have slightly less few, which down here in the county is any number between 473 million and 6. So we're still kind of working out how many zombies there are out there that are still demanding okra. So if you happen to see a run on okra at your local shops, I'd say look around for somebody who looks like he's a little out of focus. You know, like how if you take, you make a photocopy of something, and then you make a photocopy of that photocopy, and then you make a photocopy of that photocopy of that photocopy, and you do that about four more times, and you get something that looks like it might be the original subject, but it might also be something slightly different and just a little disturbing. And then they told us it was time to leave the Kinko's because the Kinko's was closing, but we said Kinko's was open 24 hours, and that's not why we're not allowed to go into the Kinko's anymore. But I digress here. And anyway, Grandma told me all that, and then she kind of winked at me and then tried to chew my nose off, which got me all nostalgic, because when I was a little redneck romancer, we used to play that game called Got Your Nose, and Grandma won more times than not, because, of course, she has a supernaturally enhanced strength and rage-powered, you know, rage-powered reflexes and stuff, but we usually got my nose back on the rad side up, and I only needed a few folk remedies and some spackle to get everything back together, and I'm feeling much better now. In case you're wondering, that's not why I talk like this. I talk like this because, well, everybody's gotta talk like something. But what I came here really to tell you about today is a public safety message. And this public safety message came over the interwebs, and it's motivated by something I saw on the interwebs, and I gotta be completely frank with you, I might get a little riled about this, because this is a subject that's very near and dear to my heart, wherever it is that I've hidden it, and it's about those, you know, you all recall a couple of years ago we talked about the giant Halloween decorations, the giant skeleton, and last year they had a giant dragon, so the giant skeleton would have something to play with in the off season. We didn't get a giant dragon, but the giant skeleton that we animated. Now remember, there's a difference between animation and reanimation, and that's very important as I proceed further. And that giant skeleton is actually doing pretty well. It turns out it's a pretty sophisticated skeleton. We weren't entirely certain how we were imbuing it with that kind of personality, but that skeleton has got a heck of a personality, and it likes to give back to the community. Right now, it's in fact teaching sign language at the VFAW, the Veterans of Foreign Arcane Wars, here in the county. And on account of its scale, it can teach up to 100 people just because it's that darn big. The thing here that I got to talk about is you see some of these decorations now of critters that do not, in fact, have bones. We've seen spiders, you know, you see the rats, and you see the bats, and you see the cats, and the occasional dinosaur and such, and aside from a few hiccups here and there, like giving the bony ear structures, and we know bones, ears are made of cartilage 9 times out of 10, and the 10th time is the one that'll get you. But, you see, octopi and spiders. Now, I am not a big fan of any of that stuff, but I do have enough of a grounding in the arts to be able to say this very sincerely. You know darn well that octopi and spiders do not, in fact, have bones. Sharks generally don't have bones. They have cartilage. They're made up mostly cartilage. But, of course, if you see a Halloween decoration of one of these things, it looks like they're all made out of bones. And someone posted that sometimes you're just a busy necromancer and you don't have the time to craft the undead creature that you want, so you have to build the undead creature that you want out of the undead creature parts that you have. I cannot stress this enough. Do not do this as a first project. For one thing, if you decide that you need to have an octopus made out of bones, you're not going to find octopus bones because they don't exist. So you got to use the bones that you have lying around, and more times than not, that's probably going to be a mix of cow, coyote, nutria, on occasion a fair goat or two, and, you know, if you're very lucky, maybe a human femur that hasn't already been co-opted for another project that you cannot possibly take out of that project, on account it would cause the entire nature of reality to collapse around you in a screaming void. Nobody likes that. It's not fun. Well, the thing about this is if you're going to create something like that, you have to remember that every undead body part that you make use of in this reanimated creature is going to have... it's going to have the sense of what it was before, kind of like that thing where they tell you that if you put a drop of some kind of medicine in the water and then you dilute it down 4 billion times and it still has, you know, the same powers and abilities as what you dropped in the water. And it's like that, only real, all right? I got to be very serious about that. Also, do not invest in essential oils unless... I'm not going to get into that. That's something for my sister-in-law to talk about. She's real good at that sort of thing, but I want to stay in my lane, as the kids say these days. So, in fact, if you make a giant skeletal octopus creature out of these bones, each and every one of those bones is going to try and behave like whatever creature it was in the first place. Now, that would all be well and good if you were building a skeleton, a two-legged creature. But you're not building a two-legged creature. You're building an eight-legged creature. And there are not very many eight-legged creatures out there that are made of bones. And the problem there is that, well, for example, if you just happen to luck out and have enough bones to build an eight-legged octopus creature out of a cow, you're going to have two cows trying to coordinate, or more cows, depending on how many bones you got out of each critter, coordinate as trying to operate, and they're going to stagger around, they're going to knock tables over, they're going to possibly set another fire like I did with my cousin Edgar. Edgar's not had a good run of luck, so if you're out there, you know, sacrifice something small to Edgar, Nutria will do just nicely. So the critters aren't going to know what the heck's going on in the first place unless you give them a serious debriefing following reanimation. This is why I like to recommend just go out, get the decoration, and animate it yourself. Now, very important, if you're going to animate an inanimate object, you do need to get some parameters set. Otherwise, it's very likely to turn on you and go rampaging through your workshop, the store of that, and a couple other trailers on its way to somewhere. Probably to the warehouse store. They like to go to the warehouse stores for some reason, probably because that's where all the candy is, especially these days during the near Halloween season. So the thing about that they gotta be very careful of course, is when you're animating your critters, you know, animate them properly and give them directions. In my enthusiasm, I dropped some of the notes I had written, because it's very important to keep track of these things. Do your research. As we know, octopi don't have bones, and so you gotta either use, you know, fake bones, which I do recommend, or real bones. And the important thing here is to make sure that you do this properly. It's a bit like trying to, when you do give it the program, and I gotta admit, it's a little challenging. It's a bit like trying to perform in Logo back when you were a little kid, and they had that one big computer with the green screen. You're trying to draw a turtle, and you can use this little thing in Logo to try to draw the pattern in with the turtle. And it's like when you're trying to draw the Sistine Chapel and in third grade, you accidentally draw something that summons the great Modoth, you know, portion of the patron of computers and without graphics cards, and suddenly everybody's running around and screaming and crying, and you get sent to the nurse again. And what was the question again?
Thank you, Philo. This has been Ask Philo with Philo T. Hedbecker Kneecap, practitioner of the dark arts in Southeast Texas. Got a question for Philo? Send it to pod@theadequate.com. That's pod@theadequate.com. Ask Philo is a production of The Adequate Company, and anyone who takes it seriously deserves to.